calling.
John the Revelator.
Right now, who dad calling?
John the Revelator.
Who dad calling?
John the Revelator.
I wrote the book called The Seven Seas.
That's a group called the Dust Bowl Revival out of Venice, California, from their CD called Carry Me Home, which actually comes from the first tune, which you wouldn't necessarily have expected from the tune I just played, John the Revelator. They've got quite a variety of music on the CD, and it's quite a variety of music that they play, in fact. And they have quite a variety of instrumentation, most of whom are here with us live in our studio today. They're going to be performing tonight at the Cowboy Monkey in downtown Champaign for a show that starts at 10 o'clock on their 2014 Midwest tour during the month of April. And when I heard about these guys a while ago and had the chance to get them in the studio, I thought this should be a great deal of fun. And now here they are, and it already has been, and it hasn't even started yet. We've just had the sound check. And a quick one it was. Thank you all very much for coming in.
All right.
Hi. How you doing?
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me I'll introduce one person. I'll let you introduce the rest. The guy who's been my contact is the guitarist and I guess main vocalist. True? One
yes.
of the couple main vocalists?
I try. Zach I try every day.
Lupitin, yeah. Tell us who else you've got here.
So, our crew that's in Champaign tonight is Daniel Mark on the mandolin.
Hello.
Josh Heffernan on the drums.
Hello.
Josiah Morey on the bass.
Yep.
Liz Beebe on the washboard and the vocals.
Hi.
And the ukulele. And that's Vic Devastali on the trombone.
Everybody actually from California, or you just gathered in California?
I mean, it's definitely a melting pot in L.A., so we're kind of from all over. But we have a couple L.A. natives. Daniel's from Venice, actually.
Venice, Santa Monica.
Yeah.
That's right. My Santa Monica friends would be mad if I said Venice, but...
You're from the hyphenate.
That's right.
Venice, Santa Monica.
So you were from Anaheim?
Yeah.
Area?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A couple of us are from Chicago in this band.
Would that include yourself?
I'm from Evanston, so...
you are.
This is kind of a hometown weekend for me, which is great. We played in Chicago last night and Evanston tomorrow, so...
That's where I went.
I've actually never been in Champaign, so... It'll be
and you're still not in Champaign.
I know.
You're in Urbana.
I know.
Yeah. Speaking of hyphenated towns, but tonight, yeah, you're 5 minutes away. Actually, you're about a couple hundred feet away, as a matter of fact. Well, so what sent you out to – you're more or less the founder of the group, right, Zach? Is that
– Yeah, we've been together about probably almost 6 years now. The band has kind of grown from kind of a small little folk group of – just doing some of my weird songs, and we've expanded to sort of this roots orchestra, sort of what we call what we're doing. It's sort of a brass band and a string band put together, and so we've had some members that are a little bit more new. Liz is kind of the rookie. She's been with us about a year, but a lot of us have been doing it for close to 5 years plus.
And you started as just the string band side of that.
Right. We didn't have drums to start. We didn't have horns. But I think once you add those elements in, and I sort of fell in love with New Orleans music, you kind of get addicted to the big sound. And I think audiences really responded to that, especially in California, where they have really embraced this type of music again.
Well, this type of music, I mean, that's sort of a catch-all, because as I'm listening through to the CD, I'm thinking, well, what type of music is that? Because... this song is gospel, this song is spiritual, this song is, well, maybe New Orleans, this song is bluegrass, this song is et cetera, et cetera. Was that what you set out to do in the first place? Sort of pull a little bit of here and
there? It's just about songs for me, you know? Like, songs are kind of come out of nowhere sometimes. You're just walking down the street and you hear something, a snippet of this, snippet of that. I grew up playing in like blues rock bands, and my dad's plays harmonica with us sometimes. He made me listen to a lot of old blues stuff, which is sort of my favorite stuff. That is sort of the bass, and then it kind of expanded when I got into, you know, Bob Dylan and Fats Waller and Louis Armstrong and all that stuff. And you know, I don't really know what I would call my favorite type of music. It's sort of American folk music in general. I would say it's embraced all these types of music. It's sort of when you say roots music, it is sort of the root of all music that's made in this country, I think.
Well, roots is a term that's getting used a lot more than it ever used to be, and it really doesn't mean any one thing.
Most bands that give us business cards, I would say these days, everyone has at least four or five different genres written on the card.
Including roots in there somewhere.
Somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere. Nature of the beast these days.
So what out of your bailiwick would you like to do first, live?
Let's do a song that is one of those tunes on the new record that is one of the bluegrass songs that Daniel introduced me to that goes way back, I think, to the turn of the century, called New River Train. Daniel, why don't you give us a little bluegrass intro on the mandolin? Thank you.
River Train. Riding on the New River Train. Same old train that brought me here. Carry me away again.
Dust Bowl Revival out of California, music by, who is it by?
I think it's a Public Domain song, right?
I want to say, I could be wrong, that it's Herb Peterson, who is in L.A., plays there once a week.
So it may or may not be Public Domain.
You think he wrote that song?
I could be thinking of something else, which sometimes happens to me.
See, this is a wonderful reason to put composers on your CDs, because then people like me on the radio can just look at the CD and then not have to look it up. New River Train, the name of the tune.
It's definitely, when I've heard a lot of different versions of it, and a lot of times on this new album, there's been songs that have the template of Riding on the New River Train, and then you bring new verses to it. So a lot of all the lyrics are usually stuff that I come up with, but that there's stuff that have the template like this that go back, you know, 60, 70, 80 years. Because I've heard songs called the New River Train that are way, way, way old, you know, but that's sort of the nature of folk music. Everyone sort of steals lovingly from each other, I think.
Well, as I was listening through the CD also, I mean, many of the tunes seemed familiar, but I wasn't sure if they were exactly familiar. In other words, if it was a song that existed from somewhere else, some of them absolutely I know, like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and John the Revelator, and so on. I mean, do you tend to do tunes that are pulled from elsewhere and then adapt them to yourselves, or is it a mix of
It's a pretty healthy
elsewhere
mix.
And originals?
It's a pretty healthy mix, I would say. There are songs like this that are sort of more considered more traditional that Zach will change lyrics to, or we'll add, you know, different bridges or different parts, and obviously we're bringing horns to them when a lot of them didn't necessarily have that to begin with. But a lot of the songs we have are original songs as well.
I would say it's about a 70-30 mix. There's probably 70 original and 30% that are sort of versions of old ones, or just straight up, versions of standards, you could say.
And speaking of healthy mixes, you call yourselves not a band but a collective. What's the difference?
It's like a co-op where you go to shop for groceries. No?
Yeah. Like a cooperative.
I would say,
cooperative.
You know, in L.A. especially, we have a network of about almost 20-plus musicians who play in this band. The band has become sort of so busy over the last few years that there's certain venues or situations where they don't need, you know, the 8-piece, you know, band. Some folks want more of a roots bluegrass sound. Some people want the full big band. Some people, are in other bands, you know. So we kind of we bring together a core crew, and then we kind of bring in special guests who join us a lot. So, you know, like Vic is one of our trombone players. Who comes in, and he's played with us for years, and it's kind of, I like it personally as a singer to hear different sounds kind of come in and out sometimes, because you have the tendency to play a lot of your songs that you really love over and over and over again, and you can get bored. I think you can get bored with the same thing over and over. So sometimes we bring like gypsy guitar or banjo or clarinet. And it's kind of a fun thing to add in here and there.
So somebody could say, I want the bluegrass subset of the Dust Bowl Revival for this gig at such and such a place at such and such a time. And
well, it's sort of like a transformer, you know? I mean, if it's if sometimes, you know, if people want we had a, it's kind of a funny thing over the last few months. We've been hired to do a couple bluegrass baby showers, which has been really weird.
Is this a trend?
It seems like it.
Who knows?
Or is it its own genre?
There was this one party. They just needed a couple of us, and there was a live baby tiger next to our bluegrass band.
It was a bluegrass tiger jam, baby shower.
We played Eye of the Tiger as it came in, but they told us not to play it too loud.
Or what would happen?
Well,
the tiger was lunging at the upright bass in a very threatening manner, which was very interesting to see.
Is this actually true?
Yeah, it is. It's all true.
I like he looks at Josiah like, are these guys for real?
Well, sometimes you can't tell depending upon who is speaking and how well you know those people.
It's all factually correct.
Yeah. The Dust Bowl Revival are going to be playing tonight at the Cowboy Monkey downtown Champaign, a show that starts at 10 o'clock. Where did you come from today? Where were you?
In Chicago.
Oh, you told me that earlier. You were up from Chicago. My old stomping grounds as well. I'm not from there originally, but I went to school in your town of Evanston.
Oh, nice.
Zach.
We were at WNUR yesterday.
I used to work at WNUR when I was a student.
Which is cooler. This station seems a little cooler, no?
Depends how you define cool. this one's a little more straight-laced than there, I would say, probably. But in any event, there's not CDs and records strewn all over the building, as I recall last time I was in there. What would you like to do next?
Let's do a song that Liz is going to sing for us called Doubling Down on You.
The owl who hoots from dusk till dawn in that midnight manner never yawns. But if you cross me one more time, baby, I'll be gone. If you keep turning me off, I ain't never gonna turn you on.
One, two.
So you got a big machine, but is your motor clean? I can hear your rotors turning, but the grass is always greener when I close my eyes and drive.
trailer, facing the glittering strip. My mama was a teenage acrobat who forgot to flip. My daddy was a pit boss with a wandering eye. When she cut daddy off, he started singing awful high. La 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la.
Uno, dos, tres.
So I don't take too kindly to no burly cat. Put on your jacket and your bow tie and your pork pie hat. You hear that clock ticking? Shouldn't you be picking me out a rock? Oh, I used to sleep on the trapeze. I'd go.
Liz looked like she had a lot of fun singing that song, Liz Beebe and the vocals, and backed up by Zach Lupitan, who is also the guitarist in the band, the Dust Bowl Revival, who are live with us in our studio on Live and Local. They're going to be playing tonight at the Cowboy Monkey in downtown Champaign for a show that starts at 10 o'clock, and it's a pleasure having them with us all the way from California. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our program is made possible by the Danville Symphony Orchestra, presenting Two Times the Fun on Saturday, April 26th, that's tomorrow, at 7:30 p.m., featuring piano duo Charles Webb and Steve Manning, and Ogden Nash's clever poetic accompaniment to Carnival of the Animals. More information is available at 217-443-5300. I see this little notice about having been named at some point the best live band in L.A. When was that, and that seems like it ought to mean something.
This past
year. That
was
my mom, actually.
That was your mom who gave you that award?
Asterisk.
That's right.
It was her yearly newsletter. Christmas newsletter.
If you post something up on Facebook, it just becomes true.
Oh, that's how that goes.
The Los Angeles publication, LA Weekly, does a Best of LA every year. Mm-hmm. And in the musical section this year, we were pleasantly surprised to find that they had named us the best live band in LA.
Bam.
It was shocking to me, since they never write anything about this band. And I was kind of stunned because I've invited them to so many shows for the last 5 years, saying, like, please review this. Like, please check out our new album every other year. And I've never even received a single response. Like, sorry, we can't make it.
They were obviously silently paying attention.
Yes.
So
it's always
we're
they were waiting
that.
For the big reveal.
It's always when you stop caring, right?
And the funny thing is, when I wrote to thank them, they also never sent me a response.
Communication,
I was like, you know what? Whatever. I'm glad
it's
they
yeah,
got to somebody over there.
So they apparently got to some shows, or at least sent some spies.
Mm-hmm.
I think this band has really become sort of an experience. I think at least we try to like make it at a show over there where there's a lot of people who come. There's dancers, swing dancers come out. You know, it's a whole sort of environment that has really blossomed in LA for throwback swing music, bluegrass, Dixieland. There's a lot of great groups that are playing all over town that have sort of created this communal party atmosphere, which is really fun. And I think that's maybe what they picked up that people are really enjoying coming to these shows as a live experience, not just, oh, I like this one song. You know, they come to see what's going to happen next, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, that was going to be my follow-up, is what the live part of that meant, and you certainly answered that question. And looking at photos on your website suggests that there might be some fun had at your concerts, as well as some of the videos there.
Actually, we frown on it, man.
You frown on it?
Come to the Cowboy Monkey and find out.
But yeah, Zach is right. We definitely have a great community in Los Angeles, and now up the West Coast and even in Northern California, we have a bunch of other bands that are friends of ours that, you know, all sharing that sort of live experience and in some of the throwback music that we're doing too. So,
throwback music. I actually like that term too. That's a little bit different from roots music.
Well, it's like an homage, you know. It's obviously like we're coming from a modern experience, but we grew up listening to certain kinds of music. So we're always putting our own spin on things, but not changing it so much that you can't tell that we're proud of where it comes from.
So, Liz, what did you grow up listening to? The Expected Things?
I listened to a bit of everything. I grew up in New Hampshire, and so a lot of the folk music I grew up listening to was like Dar Williams and Sean Colvin, lots of really singer-songwriter stuff. Although I listened to pop music too. I came home from sixth grade one day and told my dad I had found a really cool new band. They were called Aerosmith. And he laughed at me and showed me his record collection. And I listened to a lot of singer-songwriter stuff, probably just because I like singing along with women. You know, Joni Mitchell is a great hero of mine. But I got really into swing music in high school when I think there was like a big boom for the 40s music was coming back. And it's just, it hasn't gone away, obviously. It's still kicking. So,
you sound like you could have had some vocal training along the way.
Actually, I went to school for theater, so all my vocal training is really for acting. But
and we're not talking about musical theater, just.
I wish that I had done more musical theater, but my college only did a couple of musicals when I was there. So I took voice lessons here and there, but I mostly sang in church and in the car and choirs in school and stuff like that. So I found these guys on a lark, and they've totally changed my life for the better. So.
Well, that was going to be my next question, since they said you're the rookie of the band here.
Yeah.
What was the lark that hooked you up, so to speak, with these guys?
Google.
That's it. What did you type in?
A Google drone.
Well, hilariously, coming from a performance background, I know that it takes a lot of hard work to sort of, you know, quote unquote, make it in LA, as they say. And after being in LA for quite a while trying to do acting work, I hilariously one day Googled session singer work in Los Angeles, which is, you might as well type in how to be in a movie, you know, and somehow finding yourself in a movie. And,
I thought you typed in awesome life change.
I typed in manifestation now. No, and I had found a post that Zach had put up about looking for a new female lead singer for the band, as the one they had been working with had left shortly before I found them. And we met and had the little audition, and I met the guys, and it just sort of worked out. So lucky me, they didn't find anybody else beforehand. So.
Oh, we tried. There has to be. I'm saying, no, wait. Let me rephrase. I saw a few people before her. The problem is that there's a kind of person that has to be able to fit in a group of seven guys that I think they have to be completely kind of fearless.
It's called a married woman.
And fearless and kind of ready for anything, you know. And you know, when I write a new song, Liz is the first person who gets it. So, you know, there's sort of a lot of work that we do on our own to try to get the harmonies and get the songs working. And I can tell pretty soon if the song's not going to work. You know,
when you say we do, meaning you and
me and Liz. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just because, you know, I try it out first just for myself or her, and if I can tell that it's not clicking, it's sort of a survival of the fittest. You know, it's gone, it's dead. You know, the song. Sometimes it'll come back years later, but a lot of times, if a song doesn't fit the first few times you try it out, it's not right. It's not right for the band. So,
did you want to do one of yours?
Yes, let's do a song that is also on the new record. It's a little bit of a lewd love song called Hard River Gal.
But we can still...
Not too lewd for radio.
We can still air it on the radio. Yeah, I have to ask that question.
Asterisk.
Well, tell us afterwards.
Would you call me?
It was okay.
If we still have the microphones running, you'll know.
She the kind of woman, she like to drive real fast. She the kind of woman, she like to drive real fast. She got a V8 on her, you know it ain't gonna last. She'll bake a pie for breakfast, a chocolate cake at night. She'll bake a pie for breakfast, a chocolate cake. Come home late, she's gonna beat you with a garden hose. If you come home late, she's gonna beat you with a garden hose. And if you look at her sister Doris, she'll punch you right in the nose. How come Doris is so pretty, my honey looks like a garbage truck. Sister Doris so pretty, my honey looks like a garbage truck.
All right.
They say the devil brings you
wasn't overly lewd.
Slightly lewd.
Slightly.
Suggestive.
It's lovingly lewd.
The Dust Bowl Revival, Hard River Gal here on Live and Local. They'll be at the Cowboy Monkey in Champaign for a show tonight at 10 o'clock, and they're with us live in the studio. I'm Kevin Kelly, and pleased that you have joined us today, not only the band, but of course all of our listeners, and want to say thanks to the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, who are supporting today's show, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. Since you guys were voted the best live band in L.A. this year, you said, right? Or last year or within the last year?
It's only been a few months of this year, so yeah, well, it is technically last year. We might be the worst band in L.A. this year. Who knows?
I doubt it very much. But
we'll be the streams. Best worst band, though, if we're
the
anything.
Best, well, yeah. We're going to do it.
What I was sort of leading to was the question of whether your songs vary from show to show, which does that make it part of the live experience that you hear on CD isn't necessarily going to turn out that way live?
We could record the song four times and it'll be different every time, pretty much. So it changes a lot. Like, it's a good thing. It keeps us, keeps everything fresh because we play a lot of shows together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would think so. I would think that would be great for you. I would think it would be great for the audience, particularly if you have groupies who show up at a
dust
lot.
Bunnies.
Dust bunnies. Dust bunnies. Is that what you call them?
Well, we didn't come up with that name.
There's
that
like
name was,
two, was it three
we
of
were
them
told,
or something?
We were told that's what they were called, so we'll take it. It's cute.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I have a kind of a adverse reaction to set lists. I get kind of frightened by them. Though I do like doing set lists sometimes if we're doing like a real short set, where we have to really hit it and quit it.
Today, for example.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I'm saying this has sort of a show should have a flow to it in a way, so you can kind of sense where the crowd is, if they're a vocal crowd, if they're more of a listening crowd, because we have a lot of call and response stuff that if you're in a very polite, quiet crowd, it can be painful to
can
try
be
to
awkward.
Do that. Yeah.
We need feedback.
I wanted to ask you about the name because I'm always curious about names because, as you said earlier, Zach, there's more than a little bit of influence from New Orleans in a lot of your music, but New Orleans is far from the Dust Bowl.
It's just below it,
I like
southeast
neighbors.
I think I'm definitely a big Steinbeck fan. So when a lot of the kids, I remember in ninth grade, we had to read Grapes of Wrath. A lot of the kids were like, God, this is so boring. And I was like, this is so awesome. I don't know. There's something that hit with me about it. Just sort of that people going west with this blind hope, this blind faith. And in a lot of ways, that was sort of the same thing that I did. A lot of folks I know left the Midwest for California with, delusions of grandeur or, various ideas in their head. And when you get there, you find that you have to really make it your own. L.A. is a very do-it-yourself town, I feel like. There's not a lot of people who are going to be going out of their way to help you. You have to really sort of make your own community. And I think this band and a lot of the bands in this, you could say throwback or vintage music circuit have really done that in a way where there's been a demand increase for authentic American folk music, which is really fun to see.
Since you use the term authentic, is that something that you strive for?
I think of course, yeah. I don't see how anyone would not want to strive for it. I mean, there are moments where you're like, I wish I could have a big pop song or something, But I think I see it with the bigger picture. I try to, Bonnie Raitt had a really interesting interview, I think, on NPR several months ago where she was saying, they were asking her, like, why are you still playing the blues after, 30 years on the road? Like, aren't you tired of it and playing old sort of standards and, having your own inflection of these time-worn songs? Like, don't you want to have another pop hit, like, in the 80s? And she goes, yeah, well, there's a reason why I'm still selling out theaters all over the country, because this music never goes away. It's always sort of that hum behind your ears, kind of like it's always going to be there, whereas a pop hit is there and it's gone.
I think people want to hear music that comes from an honest place. And I think that's what we mean by authentic. You know, it comes from, like, Zach's lyrics come from him. I mean, sometimes they're crazy and silly, but they're coming from an honest place. And I think that's what we stick to with when we mean authentic music.
But with some of the revivalist stuff, I guess what I meant by authentic is you try to do it the way it used to be done. But it sounds to me like you're really answering that question by
that's the way you play it. That is a debate. I mean, I think, you know, we've found that we're not included in various folk music festivals, bluegrass festivals, or even jazz festivals because we're not specific
enough.
Well, we're not like playing like Miles Davis type jazz, or we're not playing Ralph Stanley type bluegrass. So a lot of places are embracing it more and more because there's bands that are setting the tone for what roots music can be. It can be something that's attractive to everyone. And it can be frustrating not being included, but I think you just have to get out there and play your music. Again, if it's like the songs. If the songs are good, people are going to come. So it doesn't really matter what people consider it to be for me.
Well, the people who come to your shows are probably more important than the festivals anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what we tell them.
That's what you tell
but
the people.
More and more people who come to your shows who demand that you go to those festivals, eventually the festivals have no choice. That's sort of what happens.
Because they want the most popular band.
Well, they want something that people are like excited about, you know?
Well, I'd say you guys are pretty exciting. I'm enjoying myself here. What do you want to do next?
Let's do another new one of ours that I was inspired by some old big band stuff, Benny Goodman and Artie Shaw. And
so this is the one where Bob Dylan and the band meet Benny Goodman?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And they have a fight somewhere.
1938.
A song called The Ballad of the Bellhop.
Talking, I was walking, I could barely hear you whispering right in my ear. Your mama don't like me, your daddy don't like me, your grandma put that pistol to my head. When you caught me fixing up your bed, I've been working at this hotel since I was 15. Ain't no way in hell, ever thought I'd kiss the queen. It must be fate, summer sun and it was just too late. Thank you. say about it, babe. You know when they finally caught us and threw us in the stockade. You know they spat and then they stoned us. But honey, child, we got it made. One, two, one, two, three, and it must be fate. Summer sun and it says too late.
Ballad of the Bellhop. Did I remember that title right?
Yep.
The Dust Bowl Revival here on Live and Local with Zach Lupitin on the lead vocal and on the trombone, Vikram Devasthali. And star of the show, I have to say, for this tune was the bass player, Josiah Mori. I mean,
sure.
Everybody else sounded great, but I mean, I say that because it's not every, I mean, I know you're more than a string band. But it's not every string band that has a bass player that can get beyond one and five.
Ah.
Yeah,
I like
got
to
a
with
lot
the,
of it.
With the addition of the horns, it's kind of like you gotta add in some of that some of that fire behind the beat. You know what I mean? You gotta start walking.
Yeah, there's a well. You've done a lot of walking bass here. What's your background musically?
Musically, my background is actually R&B. Old Motown stuff and James Jamison. But, I grew up listening to a lot of different styles and a lot of different types of music. Versatility and diversity in music and trying to play both authentically and bring a new, kind of a new feel and serve the song properly are kind of all things that I think about as I'm trying to play and trying to listen to what's going on and go, this is what I think should be here.
Sounds like you had to play some jazz somewhere along the way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Went to school for playing in jazz bands and stuff like that, for sure.
There we go.
And he did not play upright until he was in this band.
Yeah, I did not.
Oh, is that right?
I did not play upright until I joined Dust Bowl.
You were just doing electric previously?
So six years ago, basically, when I started this band, Zach called up and said, hey, do you have an upright? And I said, yes, I do. I don't know how to play it. And he said, well, bring it, and we'll figure it out. I said, okay.
And is this that instrument?
This is that instrument. It's taken some makeover work since then, but
well, because
it's a lot prettier.
I'm very curious about this instrument. I mean, this is not a video. This is not a television show. But,
yeah.
And so we can only get away by describing it. But what's it made of, for example? It's black with sort of silver trim and
yeah. It's actually just wood.
It's painted.
It's a lacquered wood. Yeah.
Okay.
Very nice and fancy paint job for a very showy and fancy band.
It's the Raiders bass.
Mm. It sort of looks like, for those of you listening, it sort of looks like a car that you would sit in at a carnival ride. It's like a lacquer finish with sparkles in it.
It also conveniently folds together so we can travel with it.
That was going to be my next question, because I saw you rolling in this case that could not possibly have had a neck in it, a bass neck.
Yeah, it does. It comes off, and I work with a great shop out of Pasadena has created kind of the system that allows it for easier traveling and stuff like that, and has made it great and made it way less of a headache for airlines when we're traveling the band.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, it sounds great. And Vic, you have a jazz background?
Yeah, I studied jazz at the University of Southern California. And but before that, up through high school, I didn't really play jazz at all. It was sort of a fluke that I ended up going to school there. And and studying jazz, but I'm glad I did.
And you found these guys somehow, or they found you, I don't know which.
Yeah, well, my buddy Matt, who also went to University of Southern California and unfortunately couldn't be here today, he was playing with the band, and then through him, they
here
got
you
in touch
are.
With me, yeah.
And that would be Matt Rubin, the trumpet player.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So they do have a trumpet player and a fiddle player. I thought you had a clarinetist who's often with you.
The clarinet player, her name is Chloe Fioranzo. We also have another great clarinet player in L.A., Nate Kettner, who joins us, who's on some of our albums. The tour, you know, it's a tricky situation because we want to bring the whole big crew, but it's tough to, A, fit everybody in the van and to, you know, try to make it work financially. So we try to bring at least seven is what I like to do on the road, you know, at least have a couple horns. Our fiddle player is a classically trained guy at UCLA right now, and he's just did his senior recital, so he will be much more available after in a few months. So we're going to steal him away to the East Coast, I think, when we're going there in June.
But the Midwest misses out for now.
Well, Daniel just has to cover all bases on the string parts, you know.
He's doing a good job.
We support Connor's
play
education.
Bass on the men?
All the notes.
You know, I just realized that except for Liz, you all have beards.
That's We're on the road.
That's on you. I was going
to
be my next question.
I have bangs to make up for not having a beard.
I haven't shaved in
Is
7 years.
Is that what happens on the road? Yeah.
It's been a while.
Dusty Beard Revival. Dust Bowl Revival will be playing at the Cowboy Monkey and Champagne tonight for a show that starts at 10 o'clock. And they came all the way from California, not today, but... to do this Midwest tour, and they're live with us here on Live and Local, where our programs are made possible with the support of the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. We'll let you do one more in a minute, so decide what that might be. Meanwhile, I'm going to tell folks a few other things they can go see and hear in our listening area, let's say tonight and tomorrow. It's Daniel Bachman, who is described here as a psychedelic Appalachian musician. He's going to be at Indigo Artist Co-op in Champaign tonight at 8 o'clock. Big Creek Guitar Band are at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood coming up pretty soon at 5:30. Doty and Frazier are at Clark Bar in Champaign tonight at 6:30. Eastern Illinois University Choral and Percussion Ensembles are performing on the campus in Charleston at the Dowden Fine Arts Center, 7:30 tonight. Parkland Theater at Parkland College is presenting Monty Python's Spamalot tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and a Sunday matinee at 3 o'clock. It's Beanie and the Bamboozling Book Machine, presented by Eastern Illinois University Theater Department Children's Theater, also at the Dowden Fine Arts Center in Charleston. That's at 7 o'clock tonight. And it's the University of Illinois Varsity Men's Glee Club at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow night, 7:30. Balkanalia, the Balkan Ensemble at the University of Illinois, performing tomorrow night at Smith Memorial Hall in Urbana at 7:30. And finally, Millikan University's Percussion Masterworks Concert is at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the Millikan campus in Decatur tomorrow night also at 7:30. You're listening to 90.9 WYNL-FM and HD Urbana with translator W293-AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. The Dust Bowl is Zach Lupitin on guitar, Liz Beebe on the washboard and the ukulele, Daniel Mark mandolin, and... Vikram Devasthali trombone, Josh Heffernan on the drums, Josiah Mori on the bass. And we really appreciate you coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Has anyone ever told you that you should be on the radio?
Now and then? Yeah. Fortunately, the folks here at WILL liked the idea, so here we are. What are you going to go out with?
I'm going to do something that I don't think we've ever played on the radio before. It's one of my favorite new songs that we're doing. In the sort of soul feeling, it's a little something called Standing Next to Me. Mm-hmm.
walking down the highway just to get back home to you. From the highest mountain deep under the sea, matter where I'm going, you're standing next to me. I'm singing ooh, ooh, la la la. I'm singing ooh, ooh, la la la. I had nobody, had a dollar to my name. Oh, mama had you, baby, just a pawn lost in the game. From the coldest winter